In Jesus' name, amen. On the basis of the words which were just read, I would like this morning to draw a picture of our compassionate shepherd. I know that this lesson is used by many people to teach all sorts of other lessons. For instance, labor organizers like to use those words, "Come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest for a while." They like to use this to gain some labor advantage, more days of vacation per year. We recall the setting that this was just after the beheading of John the Baptist, and just after the 12 had returned from their first missionary journeys, that Jesus spoke these words. And of course, the labor organizers, the civil rights, the human rights people, and so forth, who use words like this to show that people need rest, need vacation, they are right on target. Our Heavenly Father, when He created the world, created a seventh day of rest into the very order of this creation. And so it is perfectly natural and right for people to want to take time out, to rest, to come apart, to come aside into some lonely, deserted place to rest. I'm sure that this is the thought foremost in the minds of the Greek. And matter of fact, I heard some of the Greeklings, "I can hardly wait till August 9th comes when I can take a breather once again." How many of us feel that way? We can hardly wait till the opportunity, till tomorrow, or till a week from tomorrow, till the quarter is over, especially if you have been at it already for three quarters. You deserve a break. Our Heavenly Father knows that, and our Lord is inviting us to that. Others take this text to because right after this follows the feeding of the 5,000, they see this as a kind of a messianic sacrament out in the wilderness. Jesus is a kind of a roving Lawrence of Arabia. He is in charge of a group of guerrillas, and they're going to, after this banquet in the wilderness, they're going to go down and wipe out, remove, throw out the rascals, the Romans from Palestine and so forth. Well, we have a high respect for the order of creation and a high respect for the sacrament, but that is not the intent that Mark has in recording this gospel lesson. Rather, it must be to show us Jesus as our compassionate shepherd. We note His compassion here as He sees the crowds coming. We note that He is the shepherd of Israel, and we trust that He is our shepherd. Mark uses a very unusual expression to describe Jesus' compassion. He says that after Jesus and the disciples went to this desert place, this lonely place by boat, that the crowds followed on land by foot. And then we hear when Jesus came and looked out and saw the crowds, He had compassion on them. Esplanchniste ep autus. He felt splanchna toward the people. This is a rough kind of an expression. The splanchna are the inner organs of the body. They are the stomach, the entrails, the heart, the lungs. They are oftentimes associated with sacrifice, even in pagan days, that a person would bring the sacrifice and first he would eat the splanchna. Here Jesus has this splanchna. He has this compassion, these inner organs that He feels deeply toward the people because they are as sheep without a shepherd. it's always used in the synoptics, where alone it's found. It's always used in the verb form, and it's always used in connection with Jesus Christ. It appears in three parables, but it's always the turning point, and you can guess the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, and the unforgiving servant. In Mark 1:41, Jesus has this attitude, and it causes him, as this leper cries to him, it causes him to reach out and touch this unclean thing because he has this splankna. In Mark 8, it refers to his compassion toward the crowds. They have been with him for 3 days listening to the word, and they're hungry, and he has splankna towards them. And in Mark 9, it's the prayer of the father whose son is possessed, and he throws himself into fire and into water and so forth, and he asks, Jesus, have mercy, have splankna toward my son, toward me, and heal him. It's an all-out love. It's compassion that demands total sacrifice. It's a word of pity, and oftentimes, or at least once, it is used with that Old Testament word, pity. It shows, but it's pity carried out into action. Once it is in connection with the Old Testament word, mercy. It's always something strong, self-giving. It is extending yourself all the way, making yourself not only at the disposal of, but giving yourself to the other person. That is the picture that Mark wants to give us of this person who is Lord. He is the shepherd, and Mark deliberately leads his disciples and us to see that, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Alland gives in the margin Numbers 27:17, where the people of Israel were like sheep which had no shepherd. And then the Lord told Moses, lay your hands on that man Joshua, the son of Nun, in whom is the Spirit. Inaugurate him with authority over the people, and then Joshua becomes the leader of the children of Israel. That famous chapter, Ezekiel 34, the prophet upbraids the false shepherds of Israel that have been not a counterfeit of the true shepherd. And then that chapter ends with, thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord. And the disciple identifies those words, sheep without a shepherd. Here is now finally the shepherd who with compassion reaches out and says, I am your God, you are my people, and I will live with you and be present with you to help you. He is also not just a compassionate shepherd, he is also a shepherd who is ours, and he teaches us. He doesn't just take us out to a shade tree and ask us to drink mint juleps the rest of our life, but he began to teach them many things. And this is not the Greek language. It's not systematics 1 or 2. It's not even mission methods in the perspective of Luke Acts, or it's not even the Holy Spirit in the Bible. But he began to teach them. He began to lead them in the way that we see everything that happens in our life this day. Even the construction around us and all the nuisances that we have, we see all of this as building blocks, as part of the construction, the spiritual building up of ourselves as we go out to serve the Lord. A beautiful picture of our compassionate shepherd is here. Jesus loves me, This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And with that, have a good day. Amen.